to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
Despite all my rage, I am still just a geek in a cage. Welcome back to Social Geek Radio. Hey, geeks, how are you? One of my favorite geeks is joining us today to talk about none other than the subject of podcasting and other geeky things. It's Carrie O'Shea Gorgone, host of the Marketing Smarts podcast. Hey, Carrie, how are you?
Hey, great, Jack. Thanks for having me.
I kind of like this idea of doing a podcast about podcasting with a podcaster. And I'm going to tell a quick story. When I sent a note to you and Ann Hanley from Marketing Profs about doing this, she sent me a one-word response that was quite brilliant, actually five characters. It was hashtag meta.
That sounds like her.
Yeah. So right to the point of, I'm not sure if she was saying that this was a fun idea or I want nothing to do with this idea or what, but that was Ann Hanley's.
It's brilliantly non-committal.
Right. It could really go either way, depending upon how this show goes today. So, and after we do this, I'm going to start my Facebook group for Facebook group administrators.
That's I thought you meant Facebook group for people who've been burned by Ann Hanley but didn't realize it until later.
Yeah.
It'd be a big group.
Be a big group. Won't be a private group either. So Carrie, tell us about your podcast, Marketing Smarts, and how did you get into this crazy podcast world?
Oh, boy. So, well, I first did a podcast when I was pregnant with my first kid back in 2005 because I wanted an out. Like, if I didn't like it, I figured, podcast over, had the baby. But ended up really liking it, so kept it up until I had the second kid. And then when they got old enough to kind of, I don't know, to like wet the bed and stuff, I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't talk about this anymore.
Yeah, we're getting a smaller group of listeners every week. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, it just felt to me like it was getting a little more, it focused on them and their stories and it's like stuff that they would be embarrassed about when they're 12 or 10 or whatever, when they run for president someday. So I stopped doing that.
Yeah, they're going to be thrilled to go back to iTunes 35 years from now and be able to listen to that again.
Oh, aren't they? It's like, come on, kids, who doesn't want to hear their birth? I did draw the line at video. I was like, absolutely not. But even audio, I mean, you know, it's great. But so years later, I got into teaching and started having guests come in for the entire school, like our entire program, sometimes the entire university at Full Sail University in Florida. And I mentioned to Ann Hanley, one of the founders of Marketing Crafts, how much I enjoyed interviewing people. And so within a few months, it just happened that the person who had launched their podcast, Marketing Smarts, an interview series, was leaving for another job, Matt Grant, super smart, really nice guy. And anyway, he was moving on. So she asked if I would do it. And I took it over back in 2013. And I've just been doing it ever since. So I kind of got back into podcasting.
So 5 years in, tell us a little bit about the types of conversations you have and with whom.
Oh boy. So every once in a while, I try to find somebody who's a little off the beaten path, but the main focus of the podcast is marketing. And that's, you know, it's very broad. So our audience at Marketing Pros is made up of people from agencies, big firms, small firms, you know, solopreneurs, kind of all kinds, even PR people, salespeople. We have a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So I try to vary the topics with that in mind, knowing that it's very unusual for a single guest to speak to all of them at once. So I'll talk about a topic like marketing analytics, programmatic advertising, sometimes, you know, more fun, creative things, aspects of marketing. Sometimes it's newsy, but not really, not typically. Now, I don't know about you. I have a production schedule, so it's not like, it's not the place for breaking news.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's trends or something, I'll try to pick up on that. And I'll still let guests, sometimes they pitch themselves to me or get pitched to me through an agency. Anne will send me people she thinks are interesting. I'll reach out to people I think are going to be interesting. It's kind of an interesting mix. I have interviewed some people that I just thought would be fun to talk to, like the mountain climber that just publishes memoirs and then had to get into like social media and stuff. I thought that must be interesting for him.
Who's been your favorite guest so far?
Oh, that's unfair. I'm not allowed to have a favorite.
I'm going to throw that. And who's your favorite child? That's another question I ask everyone.
Everybody has one.
But I'll tell you my favorite guest that you've had so far. And you can just nod and no one will see you. You recently had, or maybe it wasn't so recently, but I just discovered it kind of recently. You had Alan Alda on your podcast.
I did. And he was so wonderful.
He was so good. I mean, seriously, I'm over here with Social Geek Land and you've got Captain Benjamin Franklin Hawkeye Pierce on your podcast. That was amazing. And you had an amazing conversation with him and now he's doing a podcast.
He is. I think that's actually probably why he was so interested in doing them at the time. Like he came on mine and they approached me because they had a book coming out. If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face, which is really a good book if you haven't read it, but it's all about communication theory and his research and stuff tied in with all kinds of anecdotes of his. He is so funny. Anyway, so they originally approached me and now I'm thinking it had a lot to do with the fact that he was planning to launch his own podcast and wanted to sort of see how they work.
Yeah, test the waters a little bit.
It's exactly like him, to do his own research like that. That's how he's built his body of knowledge about interviewing and stuff, is by doing it.
Yeah, so and I think I made the comment to you at the time that he could pretty much read the phone book and I would find it fascinating. he's so interesting to listen to. And you know, the other weird thing about him, no one impersonates him. I think he's like, you cannot do a good enough impression of Alan Alda. So all of the stand-up comedians have just stayed away from him for like 45 years.
Yeah, he's so classy too. There's really not much you could say. I mean, usually you have to do a good impression, you have to kind of hang your hat on this one thing that they do that's annoying or rude or something, you know, memorable that way. But he's just so classy.
Yeah. So I'm going to take that he was your favorite guest, even though you can't officially say that.
Ian Hanley has to be my favorite guest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We better make sure that I can pull the sound bite out for that one, too. Ian Hanley was our favorite guest. So you talk to a lot of outside of, you know, A-list Hollywood TV stars.
Jane Seymour, you know, Ellen Alda. I mean, it could go on.
Sure.
Short list after that. John Taffer, Bar Rescue.
No, you know, I do like that you've had some actual TV stars. I see a lot of promotion for other podcasts that shall not be named who use the word A-lister a lot. And when they're talking about A-lister, it usually means, you know, some housewife of insert city name here, reality show, you know, second level Kardashian type guest. And they call that an A-lister. So, but you've had real A-listers along with a lot of marketers and communicators. How much of what you're hearing from the marketing folks out there is really new and innovative, and how much of it is, you know, just kind of doing the same thing that we were doing a year ago, but maybe there's some cool new technology associated with it? Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's such a trick question, really, because as I found out recently, there are a lot of businesses that do virtually no marketing at all.
Yeah.
Like I just interviewed Louis Gadima about his research. He researched 351 companies, looked at 9 things that they could be doing, like automation, right? Social media, tags on your website, all like 9-point checklist, basically. And in the B2B software industry, they're doing like 7 out of 9, but everybody else is doing like 2 out of 9.
Yeah.
So we forget. People are barely marketing out there.
I mean, it's good for agencies and marketing software companies and guys like me that, there's a lot of people out there that need our help. But you're right. There's a lot of companies that I guess it's good that some of them aren't marketing, or it would be an even more crowded space right now. But
that's true. But as far as what's new, you know, it's sort of like I was a cheerleader once and we got sick of doing our routines way earlier than we'd gotten kind of their use out of them. Practice and you get real sick of it. So I think being in the space, you hear so much of it and you've been hearing it for so long, because when you talk to people who are on the cutting edge of marketing and they come on and tell you their thoughts and everything. You sit with it. It makes sense to you. So you're kind of so indoctrinated and you don't realize that the whole rest of the world outside of that, you know, kind of vanguard or whatever is not caught up.
Yeah.
So as far as what's new, what percentage of it is new, I really couldn't say. I do think that the mechanisms change, the delivery mechanisms, I mean, and measurement, I think is probably the area I've seen the most change. But I keep hearing about customer experience, like that's a new thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or customer-centric marketing, you know, like that's not really new. Or genuinely, you know, paying attention to the needs of the customer, it all boils down to kind of the same thing. It's not new. It's not new at all. We just have new ways to do it.
Yeah, that was something I think General Stores did in the 1870s, but they just mm-hmm. didn't call it customer experience. They called it, you know, come on in and get something.
Called it, you know, running your business.
Yeah, yeah. Called it taking care of a customer and giving them what they came to get. That's what
right.
a concept.
But there's new tools, you know, yeah, chatbots yeah. and whole other ways of doing that.
Yeah, yeah. But at the end of the day, and which I hate that phrase, by the way.
Which is why you use it, of course. It's good to use things you hate. It's like
aversion
therapy.
Quick, jump off the cliff. It feels like everything is still just the new telephone. You know, at some point in 1915, everybody was freaking out over, wow, this great new delivery of messages called the telephone. And it's, you know, it's just a telephone.
Or the internet that they used to have, like, yes. capitalized in quotes.
I love that the internet used to be all caps, right?
And then just the one initial cap.
And now, oh, well, I think I saw something not long ago and it still tried to force me to put the capital I in front of internet. And I'm like, I'm sorry, did someone buy this name and now it's a proper name?
They trademarked it.
No, Elon Musk. So it's still the Wild West to some extent, or is it? Have we kind of fallen into programs and buckets and everybody's doing what they should be? Or do you think there's still a lot of Wild West unexplored territory out there?
Oh man, it's still the Wild West. I mean, there are people who will tell you everything's been done, there's nothing new under the sun, yada, yada, yada. But in 20 years, a lot of people, including those people, are going to be like, oh hell, I wish I'd, you know, taken advantage of just how much was still wide open then.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just so, especially with new channels and new technologies, that you can kind of pick and choose what you want to experiment with. You just have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be crazy not to experiment.
If you could go back in time, like let's say 5 years or maybe 10, what would you do in the social sphere differently that you didn't do back then? What would you do for you or brands you're consulting with? What would you tell them to do back then that nobody did?
Oh man. Well, content was a big thing. I am a lawyer, but I don't practice now. But as a practicing lawyer, it was like, why don't you tell people? You know, I was a podcaster also. So it's like, why don't you maybe do a podcast where you talk about basic things like estate planning or, you know, things everybody needs to know about estate planning or something. And when they get to the point where they can't do it themselves, you know, they're going to come to you because they trust you and,
yeah.
and whatever. You don't give away the store, like don't hand them templates and stuff, but you can talk about it. Won't be advice. And they're like, no, we can't do that. They wouldn't even like let people get on LinkedIn when LinkedIn was new.
Oh yeah.
Just astoundingly suspicious of new things. And so that would have definitely been something I would have liked to have seen professional services companies of all kinds get more into that. Like financial services firms, there's plenty to talk about that doesn't involve telling people how to invest their money.
Yeah.
You know, if you know the audience you want, like they have complementary interests or you want extreme athletes or something. I don't know. Like find another way to attract them through content and nobody was doing it. So probably that. Go a little further back and I would have bought like weddings.com or something.
Right.
And the internet was new. Do you remember that? It was like $100 to register a domain. And I was like, oh, hell no. Who's got that much money? Well,
I'm not in the wedding business. Why would I want to own that? I'm not spending
exactly.
$18 on that.
Now there's all these domain name prospectors that are retired with billions of dollars. And I'm like, damn, $100 a year seemed like so much.
Yeah.
No. Oh, and I tell you exactly what. So for myself, I mean, I told you I had a podcast before, right? But it was pregnancy podcast. So by definition, I pretty soon had a new baby. And PodCamp was brand new. Like Chris Brogan and Chris Penn had just started PodCamp. And they reached out and they're like, hey, you want to come and be part of PodCamp? And I'm like, F no, brother. I'm busy with a baby.
Podcasting, that's going to go away by the year 2014. Nobody's going to do a podcast anymore.
I actually didn't think that. I assumed that it could only get easier because putting up a podcast at that time was damn hard. Like you didn't know a lot of stuff. You had a lot of equipment, a little bit of coding. I was like, it can only get easier. But for me, it was just like from a logistics standpoint, I was like an hour outside of Boston and it was going to be in Boston. I'm like, man, no. And now I know, of course, I work with those guys all the time. Like, how stupid was that?
Does it amaze you how podcasting is still growing and every day there seems like there are, you know, a dozen new podcasts in the same space that just show up?
No, I mean, for one thing, nothing people do ever surprises me anymore because I'm a lawyer, so I'm a little jaded. But I have noticed that more people are, I don't know how to put it, like they're listening to podcasts. They don't necessarily say, this is my favorite podcast. It's just like their favorite show.
Yeah.
Which is something actually Tom Webster, who does all kinds of research on podcasting through Edison, his company, the company he works for. They do a lot of research on online radio and podcasting and stuff and the podcast listening audience and everything else. And they've said that podcasting actually, it's relatively slow growing if you look at the trends, but he said something like, if you call it a show, everybody knows what you mean. And that's what they associate with content they enjoy consuming, as opposed to the term podcast, which may in and of itself be limiting.
Yeah. I wonder how long we'll have the term, you know, will podcast go the way of, we talked about the all caps internet earlier and my other favorite term, cyber anything.
Oh yeah. So good.
Will podcast go away as, you know, I guess I still think of podcast as that thing that is in the Apple podcast app and that's where I consume it. And that's where I go to consume it. But
you're such a conformist, Jack.
Oh, I totally am. I totally am. But Apple says so. So I listen because they know what they're doing. Come on. But as people are doing other types of what I would consider a podcast, maybe it's over on Instagram TV, but it happens to have a video component to it, or maybe it's on, you know, something that Snapchat's going to release 6 months from now, but it's got some other component to it. I mean, those are all still podcasts, but I don't know if we'll call it a podcast anymore.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think we'll get to that point. I don't know why it's actually lasted as long as it has, except that they didn't have really a better word for it. And the format is so wildly different one show to the next.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the only surprise to me, and it's a pleasant surprise because I like the format. I like the audio format without video, just audio, people talking, you know, your voice going directly into somebody's brain and talking, you know, you and I speaking with someone as if we were all, you know, sitting at the bar or the coffee shop. I guess I'm surprised that that is still so popular in a world that is just, you know, obsessed with video. So I'm glad that the audio format is still popular and growing and being consumed more and more. I'm a little surprised by that, I guess.
I'm not, in a way, because it's a very intimate medium that way. Like I've been at the B2B forum, the marketing profs event, and people will recognize my voice just standing, you know, a few feet from them or something. I know when somebody calls me, when I answer the phone, because some people still call and not text like once in a while, some people do. So I know right away who it is just by their voice, you know, even if I didn't have the stupid caller ID. There's just something, it's like a fingerprint. It's so distinctive.
Yeah. So let's talk about some other podcasts while we're doing our podcast about podcasting. Tell me some of the other podcasts that you enjoy. Do you have a favorite? Are there some that you keep going back to that have been around for a long time that you'd recommend?
I loved the, is it called Mortified podcast where people talk about embarrassing things that they did.
Ooh.
Like read stories that they wrote when they were in the eighth grade, or like love poems they wrote to people, or terrible songs, or like
that is just cringeworthy.
Yeah, it's so relatable. It's so much fun. I love that. And let's see, as far as like in our space, marketing, I love The Marketing Companion, which is Mark Schaefer and Tom Webster.
Uh-huh. This guy,
they're both really funny independently. So you put them together and it's just like ridiculously fun listening to them. And then Chris Brogan, I feel like he comes out with a new one every once in a while, which is so funny to me because I've been doing Marketing Smarts, which of course is very different depending who you're interviewing and everything else. It, like it changes every week, but it's the same podcast. He'll just blow it up and like go do a whole new podcast because it's time for something new, which is so counter to what a lot of other podcasters do, which is just slog away to try to build the audience for the one thing. And Chris is just like, I'm going to do this new thing now.
Yeah. I'm bored with this format. I'm going to call it something else. Yeah.
It's time for something else. So he has a new one and I like quite like it, which is, it's still an interview series, but he interviews more than one person per thing. And I love that. And then Tamsin Webster does one. Now she does video. So you can't see, this is the thing. I mean, you know how there's blogs and then there's vlogs, like video vlogs.
Yeah. Is it vlog or is it vlog?
I don't know. I'm not going to say that. It sounds
we're not going to get into the GIF GIF type of...
Sounds like a Klingon word, vlog.
Vlog, child.
I don't know, right? Yeah. So that's the thing. So even podcast is like, what does it really mean? Is it strictly audio? Does video count? It's really hard to say. But Tamsin Webster has a series, like a video series on what she calls the red thread. And it's about communication and how to structure your messages in a way that makes it stick with people. But she's so engaging and fun. And I just love her. So anyhow, love that too. And of course, Alan Alda has a podcast now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know,
Clear and Vivid is
ridiculously good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, it's like all of a sudden there's a new gold standard and we're all like, I'm going to take my podcasting ball and go home.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's okay though to get beat by Alan Alda. I think that's
it is some consolation. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's got a little bit more of a built-in audience, you know. So.
Well, but he is really good. People will show up if you have a built-in audience. They're going to stick around if you're boring.
Yeah, that's very.
They don't
true.
Love you that much.
I've rediscovered Dennis Miller, comedian, former Saturday Night Live guy. That. He got a new podcast that he just started up again a couple of months ago. He's kind of like the Chris Brogan of comedy, where he does one thing and then he gets bored with it. So does something else. And then he comes back and just retitles it again, but he's doing a new one. And I think he's gotten away from politics a bit because there's nothing like turning off half of your audience at every episode. And he's doing one now where it's basically just him ranting with pop culture references from the 1990s. Right. I mean, that's pretty that's much so all he's doing.
That's my jam. And, to go check that out.
And he has almost every other episode, he's got some guest from one of his former Saturday Night Live castmates. Kevin Nealon or somebody shows up and they just tell stories about the good old days. And I could just listen to that for hours on end. So,
Of course. And I love him. I feel it's funny you're talking about 90s pop culture references because I feel like a lot of the things I say come from like The Ref and I don't even realize it or, other movies of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or 80s movies.
I think I'd say 50% of my references are from movies from the 80s and 90s and TV shows, and the other 50% are probably from songs of the same era. So I think we're in the same category there. We are speaking today with Carrie O'Shea Gorgone of Marketing Smarts. Let me get that title right. And I did want to mention that this episode of Social Geek Radio is brought to you by FranchiseSoft, your all-in-one franchise management software, complete with a CRM and virtual brochure. FranchiseSoft, nothing hard about it. You can check it out today at franchisesoft.com. Carrie, we have a few minutes left, and I want to get back to your podcast, Marketing Smarts. Where can people check it out? And do you have any big plans, any big things coming our way on Marketing Smarts or any of the other projects you're working on?
Well, if I were to tell you what was coming up on Marketing Smarts, I mean, would that spoil the surprise? No.
Yeah, no one's listening to this. Come on. You can, we won't tell anybody, right? Come on.
I am going to be doing, I always do a big episode every year on the B2B Marketing Forum, which is our big event. And I usually interview people on the ground there. And but I need to do like a bunch of other stuff too and stuff and speak and everything. So I think this year I'm actually pre-planning an episode that will feature a number of our speakers. So I'm going to be doing that. And I'm going to do our big end of year extravaganza where I always have a co-host, which is super fun. And it's usually some kind of situation where I have people answer the same question, like a bunch of really like industry luminaries from marketing answer the same question. And then we sort of, I don't know what, you know, when it's like watching the game and calling the shots, talking about it and everything, analyzing it, like post-game analysis. So I sort of do that with a co-host. So that's always fun. But it's so, marketingprofs.com.
Okay, marketingprofs.com. And tell me a little bit more about the B2B Marketing Forum. Where is that? And is that something that, that folks can check out and attend?
Oh, of course. If you want to meet me, I will be there. It's the Marketing Profs B2B Forum. This year is in San Francisco. Every other year has been in Boston. So this is a change of pace for us. And I'm looking forward to it, to meeting people who have our fan base kind of out there, because we have a pretty significant one, I guess. And yeah. In San Francisco, like we have certain cities or whatever where people like us, and that's one of them. So I'm looking forward to it. It's in November this year, so you have actually more time to register if you haven't gotten around to it yet. Yeah, so.
And we can register there at the Marketing Profs website, I would assume?
The best place to do that is MPB, the number 2B. So mpb2b.marketingprofs.com. Not like you can't find it any other way, but right. It's November 13th through 16th in San Francisco.
Right. Or so, write down this URL too. Go to google.com.
No, that's, I do know. I know where to find stuff. I'm not saying that I don't. But, you know, it's so awkward to be like, well, it's the number 2.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you're like me. You probably have to spend a lot of time spelling your name to people. Right. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
I'll tell you what, we'll also put links to all of those places and Marketing Smarts and everything else on the Social Geek website and Facebook pages and all of that. All of those.
Oh, thanks. And I hope you don't think that I was ignoring you. I was actually getting the links for the things that I was mentioning to you and putting them in our chat here.
So oh, look at that. Oh, look, I see you're already putting things up in the chat box that
I'm populating
by the
show
way,
notes.
I've never used.
hey,
you know,
there's a chat box.
When I talk to a guest, I like to focus on the conversation, Carrie. I don't know.
That's
about
a good save, Jack.
Wow, I've got a chat box here. This is amazing.
Although you unwittingly imply that I've not been paying attention to you. Well,
I'm sorry. What was that? I wasn't paying attention. What was that? So anyway, we will check out the B2B Marketing Forum. We will check out Marketing Smarts and everything else happening in the fine world of Carrie O'Shea Gorgone. Thank you so much for joining Social Geek Radio today. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope you'll come back and chat with us again soon.
It would be my pleasure. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, everybody, and good night.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.